Well, hello and welcome. Welcome to Parent Wise with Monica Irvin. I'm Monica and I'm really glad that you're here. I'm excited about our topic today. This is a topic that has been on my mind for well over a year. It's something that I want to really expound on in some different areas, but today I'm just going to kind of introduce the principle that I hope in the coming weeks or months, from time to time, we'll talk about. And so the title of today is Parents, You're in Charge. You know, go back 20 years ago, I think maybe even a little further would be helpful. And it wouldn't even be a question about whether parents were in charge or not. But today, I think it's in question. And so we're going to talk about it today. We're going to talk about how to give you, mom and dad, back your power, back your confidence, because your kids need for you to be in charge and they need for you to have confidence in parenting them. First, I want indulge me for a second. I like to read when people have taken the time to pay a compliment to this podcast. And this was actually a compliment that I got from someone that I know, so that made it even extra special. And it's a friend of mine named Rachel. So Rachel, thank you for this really sweet comment. So Rachel said, Monica, I just finished listening to another one of your podcasts, the one about family meetings. I am shaking with excitement. Now, I have listened to a lot of podcasts and read a lot of articles on parenting and families and kids, and for years have subscribed to and signed up for various workshops and programs. But there is something special to me about your material. Maybe it's just perfect for the stage of life I'm in, where I am on the way to later childhood and busier family schedules. But also, you have the spirit with you, and it strikes such a chord with me. I'm so grateful for the work you do. I just feel so blessed that we have crossed paths, and I've discovered the wealth of your influence and wisdom. Rachel, thank you. That's a really, really nice compliment, and I feel so grateful. You know, I feel it's such a privilege to be able to share my thoughts, to share wisdom that you all, I have gathered a lot of wisdom, yes, by experience, but by other mothers, and fathers who have taught me so much throughout my life. I'm one of those people that ask a lot of questions. I'm like extremely curious. Whenever I meet people, I like to know everything about them. And so I ask a lot of questions, and I'm not shy to ask when I want to understand something better. When I see, and I've been like this my whole life, but especially as a parent, when I see someone doing it really well, in my opinion, they're parenting really well, you better believe I'm going to be asking them, so what is it you do? How do you get your kids to do this? XYZ. And that's how I've learned a lot. So I would encourage all of you that when you come across people and you interact with other parents and you admire how they speak to their kids or how their kids respond to them or how their child does one thing or another, ask them, be humble enough to say, wow, you know, I really love how your child does this. How did you get them? How did you teach them that principle? How did you teach them that behavior? What do you do to inspire your children to make good choices? Just anything. You know, parents, we all love to share. Well, we all love to feel like we have something worth sharing. I mean, don't we? We all want to feel valuable and feel like we have a little bit of wisdom to share with others. So it makes us feel good when people ask our advice, ask our opinion. And so it's one of the best ways to create friendships is to ask someone their advice or opinion. So ask a lot of questions. That literally is something I've always done. And I've always been so grateful for how willing people have been to share with me their insight on all topics. It has really added to my life and it's helped me to be a better mother. So today, I want to just talk about this. I think it's an epidemic. This epidemic of parents allowing their children to rule the household. And I see it in lots of little and big ways. Our society is sending the message also. How many of you, I know you have watched these shows on the Disney Channel or other channels, all of these, you know, channels and shows for kids where the kids are portrayed as the wise, wisdom-filled people in the family. And the parents are portrayed as ignorant, stupid, foolish, an airhead. I know that's an old word. And it's the kids who save the day. And it's the kids who save the world. And the parents are oblivious to it. I see it in cartoons. I see it in other shows. It's these subtle messages, and it's very dangerous. And God is not the author of these messages, but there is a concerted effort to undermine the authority of parents. Whenever we undermine parental authority in any way, in our society, in our homes, in our schools, in our children's education, in our children's health, it's very dangerous. Because parents, Heavenly Father has given you and I the capacity to be able to parent and make decisions for our children. And we are authorized by God to make decisions and choices for our family. And there is no one else that can compensate for parental authority. Now, it doesn't mean that as parents, we don't, once again, do all that we can to find other resources to help us make better decisions for our children. You know, we try to gain wisdom by listening to podcasts, by talking to our doctor, by talking to friends. But we parents have the capacity to understand where we're lacking in knowledge and wisdom for our family, and then how to seek out that knowledge and wisdom. But I want you to know that it is imperative that you have confidence in your ability to parent your children. You are their mother and father. God wants you to be their mother and father. So, I want to give you a couple of examples. Now, when I give you these examples, parents, please don't think that this is about judging. Now, I'm not saying I've never judged anyone. That would be, that would not be true if I said that. I know I'm not supposed to judge. I try very hard not to judge. I would imagine that before I became a parent, I was much more tempted to judge other parents. But then I became a parent and very quickly realized how difficult it is to parent. And I think once we become parents, we start giving other parents, I hope at least, we start cutting them a lot more slack. Because we realize if we've got kids, that kids are different. Kids don't always listen. Kids don't always model what their parents have taught them. And we start to realize that this is hard. And so when I give you these examples, I'm giving you these examples just to help you have a frame of reference of what I'm talking about here. So for instance, I was in an airport and I was sitting just, well, actually standing there waiting for my luggage to arrive, you know, to arrive in the baggage claim. And as I'm standing there, there's this baby, and she was a baby, probably 1 year old. She was walking, so maybe 15 months old, something like that. And what happened is the baby, the mother was sitting in the chair, and the little girl was in front of the mother. And the mother's purse was beside the mom sitting on the floor, and her purse was unzipped. And all of a sudden, the baby looked down and grabbed the handle of the mother's purse and started walking off with the mother's purse. And so the mother reached down and started to take the purse away from the baby, and the baby kind of yelled, you know, screamed like, "Oh, no," because the baby wanted the purse. And so the mother released the purse and allowed the baby to continue dragging this purse around this airport floor. Well, while this little girl, this little baby was walking around with the purse, things started falling out of the mother's purse because it was unzipped and the purse had become kind of sideways from the baby dragging it. And so lipstick, I don't remember what all, but things started falling out. So the mother attempted one more time to grab the purse from the baby. And when she did, the baby screamed again. And so the mother released the purse again. And so the mother proceeded to follow this baby around the airport and pick up the things that were falling out of her purse. Parents, do you understand why I'm giving you this example? What do you think that little baby is being taught at the young age of 1 year old? That baby is being taught by her mother that I'm in charge. I get to decide what to do and what not to do. When I don't want something to happen, I yell and then I get my way. She's being taught that she's the one that gets to make decisions. And parents, children are so smart even at the age of 1 year old. Now, it wouldn't surprise me if this little girl grew up and turned into a little 7 year old like the one that I'll describe next. So I run these manners camp in the summer for kids aged 5 to 12. So I have 5 to 8 year olds together and kids 9 to 12 years old together. And they're so fun and we learn so much. But one summer, it was the first day of camp, and anytime people are running, you know, more than 10 minutes late on the first day, I usually am going to put a phone call to them just to make sure they're not lost and that they know where they're coming. So it was the first day of camp, and I had a little 7-year-old girl that was missing. And so it was probably about 15 minutes after camp, you know, had started, and I took a pause and dialed the mother's phone number. And the mother answered the phone, and I said something like, you know, "Hello, this is Monica Irvin. I'm with the Etiquette Factory, and I'm just making sure that you and so-and-so are still coming to camp. And, you know, camp started 15 minutes ago, and I just wanted to make sure everything was okay." And the mother said, "Oh, Mrs. Irvin, I'm so sorry." She said, "Well, basically, my daughter is refusing to get in the car. She said she doesn't want to come to camp. She thinks manners camp is going to be really boring, and I can't get her in the car." And she was 7 years old. Do you understand why I'm giving you that example, parents? Because who was being the parent? The 7-year-old or the parent? And I thought to myself, what are you going to do when she's 14? What are you going to do when she's 12, when she's 10? What are you going to do when the stakes are higher than attending a manners camp? And finally, I'll leave an example. I might have shared this in a previous podcast, but, and this is, you know, meant no disrespect to these parents. And the thing is, parents, is, you know, the truth is, I don't really know the situation. I don't know the real situation of that little baby in the airport. I don't know the exact situation of that little 7-year-old and that family. And there's things that I might not know that would change the way I thought about the situation that I was seeing. And so that's why we're not supposed to judge. But I'm giving you these examples so that you can analyze your own relationship with your children. That's all. Because you know what your kids are capable of, and you know if there's any extended circumstances that might make things a little different in your home. I don't know those things. So I realize there could be other issues at hand that play a role in these types of circumstances. But finally, I had a mother in one of my workshops last year ask me my advice on how to get her 12-year-old daughter, I'm talking all about girls today, but I know this is true with boys too, but how to get her 12-year-old daughter to take a bath because she refused to take a bath. And I won't go into how I answered her, but parents, this is why I want to talk about this topic. And this is why I worry so much about the state that families are in today. Because I know there are too many parents that have relinquished their power over to their children. And here's what's so destructive about that, is our children need, desire, thrive on parental control. Look, I'm a big believer. If you listen to my podcast, I'm all about giving children independence. I really believe in that. I believe that once our kids turn about 4 or 5 years old, that every year of their life, we have to turn more of their life over to them, and we have to take a lesser role, meaning we're trying to raise children who are independent of us, who can make decisions and make choices and who can take care of themselves and manage their lives. And the only way we're going to raise those types of children is if we let them practice. But at the end of the day, it is ultimately mom and dad who make decisions. Meaning, if I tell my kids, I want you all to think about what extracurricular activity you would like to be engaged in this year, then I want my kids to come to me with their suggestions. I want them to come to me with what they have prayerfully considered. But at the end of the day, ultimately, it is mine and my husband's decision what our kids are going to do. It just is. And I want my kids to know that. As we are raising our kids, we want them to be independent thinkers. But when mom or dad say, give a command, ask a question, request anything, our kids need to know that they must respond and they must respect the decisions that mom and dad make. It is imperative to our children's well-being. Children, I often think back when I was in high school or just people that I know whose, when we were teenagers, whose parents pretty much let their kids do whatever they wanted. You know, there wasn't a lot of rules. There wasn't a lot of, just a lot of oversight into their children's activities, behavior. There wasn't rules about what kind of movies you could watch or TV you could watch, or there wasn't really curfews and just a lack of parental involvement. You know, parents, some parents believe that's how you have good relationships with your children. But the reason I respected my parents so much is because they loved me enough to have rules. They cared about my well-being enough, my physical safety, my spiritual safety, emotional safety, that my parents had a lot of rules. You know, my friends thought my parents were so strict. But as I've become an adult and have looked back, I've realized that I had parents who cared so much that they made sure that I was safe as much as they could by instilling rules of conduct and behavior. And that's a way that we send a message to our children how much we care about them. You know, if you want to look to an example of how to be a good parent, well, don't look beyond our Father in heaven. So we have a Father who lives in heaven, and He literally is our Father. And He loves us so much that He gave us commandments. And what's the purpose of commandments? The purpose of commandments is to help us thrive, to help us be happy, to help us avoid pain, avoidable pain, to help us avoid the pitfalls and snares that we can get entrapped in when we dismiss the guidelines that our Father in heaven has set for us. Parents, that's how we should model managing our own family in our homes, is understanding the value of guidelines, of rules, of respect. And that's the kind of parent that we want to be. What I'd like to invite you to do in the coming days is just to think about and ponder over your parental authority. Do you feel like you have parental authority? Do you feel like your children respect your parental authority? One of the best ways to make sure that we exercise our parental authority is to make sure that we're consistent. That we're consistent in the expectations that we make for our children. And we're consistent in following through with the expectations and the consequences of not meeting those expectations. Parents, your children need to know that there are the rules and guidelines in your family. And they need to know why. I never liked when parents said, just do this because I said so. I think kids deserve to know why certain rules are put in place, why our family does certain things in certain ways. Because I believe that it's much easier to abide by a rule when I know why and where the rule comes from. And when I understand that the rule comes from a place of love and protection. And I have more empathy and more compassion when I understand the why behind when someone's asking me to do something. So I encourage you to take the time to explain the why. When your family decides that you're going to do things a certain way, sit your kids down and say something like, "Hey kids, your dad and I have decided that we're going to do something a little differently. You know how we've always done XYZ this way? Well, we now want to do XYZ another way. And let me tell you why we've made this decision." And after you explain the why, you simply say, "Now, as your parents, we expect you to respect our decision. And this is the benefits of you respecting that decision." And if you feel the need to explain consequences, then you would do it at that time. But we always want to give our kids ample opportunity to understand expectations, understand the why, and then make it clear as to the benefits and the consequences of meeting or not meeting those expectations. Parents, please take control of your family. Please know that you have the capacity to be in charge. Please understand the risk and the detriment it is to your children when you allow them to be the leaders in your home. We want to raise leaders, but we raise leaders by being leaders. And we want to lead and guide our children. I'd love to hear your comments about this topic. We're going to, like I said, we're going to dive a little deeper into this topic in the coming weeks because we're going to talk about different aspects of taking control of our family and different areas that we can take that control. And I look forward to talking to you more about this in the future. Parents, have a wonderful rest of your week. And as always, thank you so much for listening. Bye.